This is Allison West, the director of the California Reentry Program here at San Quentin. The following episode of Ear Hustle contains language and content that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised, especially for you singles out there.
We're going to have to ask you some pretty personal questions and just think of us as doctors.
How old were you when you got arrested?
I was 14 when I first got arrested.
What grade you was in?
I believe I was still a sophomore at that time.
Sophomore?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, how many sexual encounters had you had at 14?
So, when I was 14, there was none. It was when I was younger, when I was 12, 13. It's about like, I don't remember, because every time I had like a girl at the house, we get drunk, but I remember we did some things.
So, that sounds like zero. You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I'm Erline Woods. I've been incarcerated for 21 years, and I'm currently housed here at San Quentin State Prison in California.
I'm Nigel Poor, a visual artist, now podcaster. I've been working with the guys here at San Quentin for about 7 years.
And together, we're going to take you inside. On this episode, dating and romance from prison.
Sweet.
Part two, the X-rated part.
The dog part.
Roof.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable, all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Erline, when most people think about prison, they probably don't think about guys in here dating and finding romance.
No, they probably think it's part of the punishment that we can't have those things. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we can't.
Well, maybe if you're gay, but that's a whole complicated subject that we talked about in earlier episodes. But if you're straight, you're not going to meet a lot of eligible women here.
But you can meet women, and guys do. You can get letters, you can make phone calls, and there's always the visiting room.
The visiting room. So much happens in that visiting room.
Yes, it does. A lot happens in that visiting room.
Like what, E?
Oh, just like twiddling the thumbs.
That's what you call it, twiddling thumbs? Is there a lot of flirting and meeting? And
well, I mean, so...
commingling?
So you are able to meet other women if you're in the visiting room.
Yeah.
By just reaching out and talking to people. You could be at the vending machine and somebody's sister might be like, hey, how you doing?
But what's the etiquette? So if someone's visiting with their family and there's some single women there, can you just go over and start talking to them?
Technically, you're not supposed to because it's just a respect thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes situations happen. But remember, first and foremost, you got to be in the visiting room
That's
for this
right.
to even go on.
That's
so
right.
Either you can get to the visiting room by hooking up with one of your friends, girl, sisters, or mm-hmm. friends, you know. It can just be a hookup like that.
Basically networking like you do on the outside.
Networking.
So for this episode, we spoke with a lot of guys about their dating experiences and also about romance in general from prison.
And some of them lied.
Yes. But some of them are good role models. Let's start with Charlie. And he may or may not be exemplary because the truth is he just hasn't had a lot of experience with women.
As we heard at the top of the podcast, Charlie was 14 when he came to prison.
I know.
He's only 20 now. When the tape started rolling, I was curious. What does he say when guys around him start talking about women? Because that's the subject of a lot of conversation.
Oh, I bet it is.
Well, you know, I engage in the conversation, but I mostly, like, I try to ask questions because I don't really know much about women like that. So when I do get into a conversation, I won't make the mistake of saying the wrong things.
So have you ever found yourself making up stories just to be in the conversation?
Not really. Like, I'll tell them I wish. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it never happened. But I ain't never said I did something I didn't do.
So you ain't never lied on your dick?
No.
All right. Just checking.
What did you say? I think I heard what you said. Well, I've never heard that expression before. Okay. All right. So, like, what do you think romance is?
Well, I thought I knew what romance was at one point, but I don't know. I'm kind of confused. Is love and romance the same thing, or is it two different things? Like, as I remember, I was talking to somebody, they was like, do you love me, or is it just lust? Like, is it just something for the meantime? But I cared for her a lot, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't just no lust.
Wait, so it sounds like, do you have dating experiences in prison?
I actually have.
Well, that was a surprise.
That wasn't a surprise to
really?
Me.
Really?
Nah, that's what we do. We're going to hear more from Charlie in a bit. But first, we're going to hear from a guy with decades more experience with the ladies.
Well, you know what? She was a little chocolate morsel, man. I thought she was my little chocolate chip. She was cute, you know, and my gab is good, you know what I'm saying? I'm smooth with the girls. So I end up
that
getting information
is Sincere
on where
Carter.
She was located.
He told us a story that only a guy inside can tell.
Sincere has been locked up since 2013 for two attempted murders. Here's what happened. He came home from work one day and he found his wife in bed with another man. He shot them both.
Luckily, they survived. Sincere was eventually arrested and sent to county jail while awaiting trial. And that's where he saw a story about a woman that really caught his attention.
She was really young and she was cool. And I seen her picture in the newspaper that she killed her boyfriend after a rage at a club. So I end up getting her information and I end up writing her. And I said, look, I'm sorry that you had a bad experience, but I've also had that experience with my baby mother, and we kind of been writing back and forth.
Okay, that is a lot to take in. So let's just do a little recap here, E, because he is a fast talker. Okay, Sincere tried to kill his wife and her lover.
Right.
He's interested in a woman who had succeeded in killing her boyfriend.
Right.
And they started correspondence.
That's pretty much it. She's in jail for women, and he's in jail for men.
Mm-hmm.
They both waiting for trial, but still, they figure out a way to meet.
She told me her date that she was going to court, and I was on the same bus that she was on.
E, how could they be on the same bus? You've got to explain this.
Well, it all depends on what court you're going to, because sometimes they'll put you on a big old Greyhound bus where the men and women, they caged off from each other.
Okay.
Or other times they'll put you on a smaller bus or van, and on those, there's no separation.
Back to the story. I told her to sit close to the guys, and I was going to sit on the front row. I pushed everybody back. Let me get in, you know. Yo, I want to meet my little lady up here. And I pulled her. I know that when she seen me, she was like, God, you're handsome. You look like Denzel Washington. I was like, yeah, I do, don't I, baby, you know. We got the kissing and hugging and touching and feeling with the shackles on. You know, I'm trying to reach my arm over, you know. Y'all sit back there. Sit down, the officer said, you know. But, you know, I'm a Brooklyn boy. We're going to do our thing, man. We cocky with it, you know.
Those Brooklyn boys, better watch out.
In their trip on the bus to and from court, they saw each other a few more times, but mostly their relationship was in letters. Before they were shipped off to prison, they figured out how to meet one last time.
She made sure that her lawyer got her the date on the same day I go to court. So we got sentenced on the same day. And I promised that we would ride this thing together all the way through prison as well. After we got sentenced, after I kissed her goodbye, I slobbed her down for my homeboy here, you know, so he can let him know it wasn't nonchalant, you know. But that was the last time I saw her, Brianna. But I loved her, you know what I'm saying? I'm just showing you, I'm a good dude. I just got a good heart like that, you know, and she appreciated that, you know.
Brianna was sent to Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla.
And Sincere was shipped about 175 miles away to the California Men's Colony in San Luis Obispo. And for a year and a half, they kept writing to each other.
But here's the million-dollar flip right here. As we wrote and we got closer and closer, she ended up telling me, because she had three daughters, and she ended up telling me that one of her baby daddies out there in the streets decided to get back with her. So she was like, look, baby, like, we had a good run. It was beautiful, and she broke my heart. She did it in, like, a really nice way. Like, look, my kids was taken from me. He ended up with the children, and I have to do this to get my kids back. So are you willing to accept me, you know, me leaving? So I told her that I would do that. She said, but listen, I got a roommate that's willing, that really, really, she be reading our letters, and she really loves you. Like, your style, your swag is awesome. Her name is Brandy. And she digs you, you know what I'm saying? She wants you to do a correspondence for her, because I'm finna transfer you from me to her.
The transfer was successful. Brandy and Sincere are to this day in regular contact via the mail system.
And I have a feeling there'll be a few more transfers in Sincere's future, especially when he gets out in a few years.
Indeed.
You know, E, as we were collecting stories for this episode, one thing became clear.
What's that?
Even though everyone here is deprived of regular female company, they all have dreams of connecting with a partner somehow, someday.
It's called hope. Yeah. We're not quite human without it.
If I was looking for a lady, I describe myself, I'm 85 years old, a good person. As far as being healthy, I'm very healthy because I do exercise. I run the track and I do push-ups, you know. And
tall, athletic, handsome, caring, and attentive.
Chocolate, about 5'10", 230, athletic. I like doing things that's outdoors. I also like chilling in the house.
Well, I want to say I'm 6 feet, but every time I go to a doctor appointment, they always make it clear to say that I'm 5'11 and 3/4 inches. I'm Cambodian, which is also known as the darkest Asians, but we're also the coolest.
I would describe myself as a very enlightened and thoughtful person. Short black hair, brown eyes, you know. As a Puerto Rican, we describe our complexion as Trienio, which pretty much just means a light-skinned black guy.
I'm not a handsome guy. I'm not really Valentino, you know.
Well, I'm a likable guy, handsome, funny.
I'm a pretty outgoing individual. I am cool. You know, I would say I'm fairly good looking, not to be conceited or nothing. And that I can tell some jokes, but not a lot of them.
All I want is to go live a good life. I have faith, good conscience, and I'm wiser now. All I want is to get out and go die in the streets. I don't want to die in here.
I've been dating these two women, so I've been dating one for about like a year, and I've been dating the other one somewhere around 6 months. One comes on Saturday. One comes on Sunday. Don't ask me how I do it, but somehow I'm managing to date these two women. So in the process of me, you know, getting to know these women, I take pictures with them. So I take pictures with this one on Saturday, and then I take pictures with this one on Sunday.
That's Kevin. He's talking about meeting the two women he's dating. E, can you explain what those pictures in the visiting room are?
Well, they're the same like pictures in the club. When you go to the club, you want to take pictures to remember the moment. And it's the same thing.
You mean there's like a roving photographer?
There's actually a photographer, and you can it costs $2 for each picture. You can either buy a canteen ducat, a picture ducat, it's called a photo ducat, or your family member or your visitor can buy one up front.
Oh, okay. And then they're actually walking around?
No, so it's one spot. I think it's like one designated spot. They got a picture behind it. You can just stand in front of the picture, take a picture, then they print it out for you right there.
Nice.
And you got a memorable moment.
So Kevin gets pictures taken with these two women, and this is where the trouble begins for him.
The one that's been here for a year, I like taking pictures with her. She gets a lot of attention. A lot of guys think she's beautiful. The other one, she's beautiful in her own way. God didn't make no ugly women. They are all beautiful in their own way, you know. But, looks-wise, no. So, you know, we kicking it and vibing it. And I made two pretty cards for the holiday. I think it was Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. So I put a picture of me and this young lady here. And then I put another picture of me and another young lady in the other one. And, you know, I'm thinking everything is smooth. You know, okay, I'm getting ready for the Christmas holiday. I told the other one I need a package, and she's going to send me the package. I told the other one I need some more astrology books, you know. So, I'm doing it. I'm the man. So, I just had a bad feeling. I don't know what it was. I should have just fought my first mind, but I turned the mail in. And magically, they ended up at the same address. And about 3 days later, I get a Dear John letter. Fuck you. Don't call me no more. I hope you die. Got the pictures of me. She had pictures of both females in there. She told me don't call my phone no more. She told me she hope me die. She hope I die, and I'm not that handsome. And all, you know, it was just everything. You think you all that, and I guess I'm going to sign up for a pen pal service or something, because now I'm lonely. I don't know what I'm going to do, so I got to find some more women.
You know what I learned from this dating story, E?
What's that not?
Well, God didn't make any ugly women, but he sure as hell made some careless men.
You know what?
What?
I'm gonna process that one for a minute.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone for now. But pen pal services, that's something a lot of people might not have heard of.
Well, everybody here know about them.
Right.
These services connect prisoners with people on the outside, and it's not always for romance. But it is a good option for someone that's looking for love.
Nice.
They get correspondence going, they start talking on the phone, and pretty soon, you might have a date in the visiting room on the dance floor.
And sometimes it works out.
Hopefully.
But it really does seem like guys meet a lot of women through friends.
Yeah, like our young friend Charlie here.
She was real solid.
Yeah, he surprised you, Naj.
I know. Earlier in the episode, when he said he'd been dating, I was shocked. So how'd you meet these other women?
Well, the other women, I met them through friend of a friend.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So we shot each other's info, and we started talking. And, you know, I mean, it was just real. Like, we get into some good conversations, but the only thing was, like, I got too attached. I say I get, like, because I haven't been into that kind of relationship with anybody for so long that I felt like I was still a beginner. I didn't, like, it was all brand new to me all over again. Because, like, me just talking to her, we'd have all the mental things, but she wanted not just the mental, but the physical, and I understood that, so.
That is one of the hardest parts about dating from prison. Unless you're married and you're eligible for family visits, you're not having sex.
And any romantic relationship without that is hard to maintain.
Yep, and that proved to be fatal in Charlie's case, as he learned one day on the phone.
He was like, I got something to tell you. She said, it's nothing bad, but she's like, I think it's bad because I know how you feel. And I was like, just give it to me. And she told me, she's like, well, I'm talking to somebody. I just wanted to tell you because I think it's not fair if you keep talking to me and I didn't tell you. I'm not gonna lie, I was heartbroken. Like, it hurt it, but I had to let it go because at the same time, I got to focus on me and getting out. I can't, like, that's a whole nother story, but.
Hold on. How did you feel, really, though? Like, what was you feeling?
So, I'm not going to lie, I couldn't sleep that whole night. Like, I was just looking at the wall. I was staring at that wall, just thinking, like, damn. I know if I was there, like, she always talk about us having the mental things, but she always needing the physical things. So if I was there and I can give her the physical things, you know, it'd be a whole nother story.
I feel like I'm prime real estate right now. Let's say this.
Okay, what you got to offer?
I think I'm good looking. I'm working on my physical appearance. I'm working on...
Describe yourself.
I'm about 5'7". Brown eyes, caramel complexion, dreads down my back, glasses optional. I have tattoos all over my body. I have a slight gut, but I'm getting rid of it. I'm working on it. Prime real estate.
That piece of prime real estate didn't want to use his name. So we're calling him Mo.
He says he's in a committed relationship, but it's complicated.
See, I love my girl. I love my girl, but it's like my love is not, I'm in love with her. It's more like I love her for the friendship that we have because we've been.
He's known his girl for a long time, but they've only been a couple for the past 3 years.
And well, on the street, she was I don't know really about a couple, like a girl, but he does call it a relationship.
All right.
Her conversation is not where my conversation is at now. She still want to be stuck in the hood, what's going on around there, who's doing this, to where, like me, I'm more stimulated with, you know, talking politics or talking about how to restructure my life and build and become better as a person and stuff like that. And when that talk come up to her, that's like irrelevant. And plus her physical appearance is kind of lost its touch. So I'm like, you know.
Describe her.
She done got up to like 200 something pounds. She's bubbly white chick. She just.
Do she say nigga?
No, don't allow her to do that. Okay. But she is that the white black girl, just too hood. Like yeah, wanna ratchet. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh God, E. I don't know. This is pretty hard to hear. I always say working inside a prison has made me respect men more, but this is definitely putting it to the test.
So, of course, we wanted to have him on because there are guys like this in prison,
yeah.
Just like there are guys and gals like this on the streets.
Fair enough.
So brace yourself. Let's hear a bit more from Mo.
I would say that if she were to take my advice and just do some of the things I asked her to do, I wouldn't even be thinking about leaving her at all. And just to take care of her body physically. I mean, yeah, I'm a looker. I like a beautiful woman, you know? I mean, she got a beautiful heart, she's losing it, and actually I'm looking out for her health too at the same time. Swear to God.
Don't do it.
Swear to God.
Don't do it.
Swear to God.
Do you think that she think she's making an investment? It's an investment for the both of y'all future together.
I don't think I'm giving her that reason to think like that.
You said when we first started this conversation that y'all got together. You was like, oh, you could be my girl.
In prison? Not from the street.
Okay, it's time for a public service announcement from Allison West. She did our listener alert at the top of the show, and as she said, she runs the California Reentry Program. She was on the last episode talking about what happens when volunteers fall in love with someone in prison.
So maybe one last question.
And Naj, that last thing you asked her turned out to be also relevant to this episode.
So we do get emails from people asking us about dating in prison, and they want to be a pen pal, and are they going to give somebody the wrong impression by being a pen pal? So what advice would you have for somebody who has met, they're not incarcerated, and they've met somebody in prison? Do you have any advice for somebody who wants to start dating someone in prison? What would you tell them?
Probably the same dating advice I'd give anybody. Get to know them 2 years before you commit to anything. I mean, really, I think it takes at least a year to scratch the surface of somebody. And in prison, I'd say 2 years, just because when you're out, you can go out on 3 dates a week if you want. You can talk on the phone, you can text, you can email, you can Facebook, you can Instagram, you can all those other apps. There's a million things, that ways that you can be in touch. You can meet his parents, he can meet your parents. And in prison, all of those things are impossible or extremely difficult. And so if you're going to date somebody in prison, you need to not be in a hurry. You need to be super, super patient to get to know that person. And then the art of letter writing, that's one thing that's beautiful about prison, is that the art of letter writing is still very much alive. You can draw pictures, you can send photos, you can write poetry, you can write stories, you can write about your day. It's just such a beautiful way of getting to know somebody.
Potentially, you're going to be in prison for a little while longer, right?
I hope not.
Let's hope not. But let's say you can plan a date in prison in the visiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a date you would plan in the visiting room.
It's kind of hard to think about that, but I got a perfect scenario. Like, so my romantic would be like, if she comes to visit me, like, yeah, we have our day, but I'd make a phone call to the streets, right? Like, I got a lot of people that still supports me, and I'll ask them for a few favors. I'll ask them to buy this and buy that. Say, for instance, buy a box of chocolates, a teddy bear, whatever, and I'll send a card out, right? And I'll personally, I wrote it myself or I bought it or something, right? And I'll send it to my boy. And, like, I'll just, and if I talk to her, I'll keep trying to slip up and ask her for, like, address. And when she slips up, I'll tell my boy, like, look, bro, this is what I want you to do. I want you to drop this off in front of her house at a certain time. So when I call her on a payphone and we talk, and I can be like, you know what? What you doing right now? And she either be like, oh, I'm laying down, or I'm watching TV. And I just want to be like, you know what? Well, would you trust me? She's going to be like, trust you? I'm like, of course. I'm like, okay, well, go put your shoes and your sweater on real quick. And she's going to be like, what for what? Like, you know, and I'll be like, just trust me. Just do it. And when she does, she's like, now what? Like, just open the front door. And when she does and she sees that, like, I just want to hear how she reacts. And that would be, like, the romantic kind of thing for me, just being in prison. Even though I can't be there, I could at least do something to act like I was there.
Have you been on a visit with a woman?
No.
With that intention?
No. Not ever since I've been down. The only people that have been visiting me is my mom, my aunt, so my close relatives.
Chances are you go out there with a woman, you're going to melt, huh?
We can say that. Like, yeah. I'm not going to lie about it. Like,
I don't want you
know?
To lie. I want you to be honest. I want to hear. You just going like, to be, you might even faint, huh?
To be real with you, I'm kind of one of them dudes that I'm a sucker for love. I'll go out of my ways just to make her happy.
Give us a personal ad. Imagine that you're. Do you know what a personal ad is? Like, you write a profile on date on a dating site. So just imagine. Give us your
give us a little
profile.
To be honest, I'm 5'7". I wouldn't consider myself tall, but some people do. Not pretty big. I got high metabolism. I can't get big for nothing. I can get cut though. I can show you. And you know, I love going out. Love adventures. I love reading books, especially one with the love of romance, and that, like, in the beginning they don't like each other, they with somebody else, but then they find a way just to get with each other because love is stronger than, like, it conquers everything in the world. And I just love those love stories. I could just read 600-700 pages in like 2-3 days and just get stuck in it. I love a lot of fantasy things, so. And on top of that, I like to try some too. Just throwing that out there, you know.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, like when you read stuff in the books, some fantasy things, like what they do, and I'd be like, damn, I want to try that too. Or when you watch a movie and you see some things, you'd be like, damn, that's dope. I want to try that too. Like, how does it feel, like, to be there in that situation to where I was only seeing it? Because I ain't gonna lie, when I watch love movies, like, I can feel it. Like, I feel the love. I feel where the dude's coming from, where the girl's coming from. But I'm just like, damn, how would it feel being there in person?
So you mean when you see, like, sexual things or romantic things?
No, just like romantic things, like what he would do for her or what she would do for him. It's just the little, like, the sweetest things, the things that he do, the things that he'd say, you know, like, the things to plan, like, that they plan out together and everything, the scenario, the scening, like, the things that he do to surprise her, her reaction, or vice versa, his reaction, the things she do for him, and, like, I want to try all of that.
So you caught up in the romantic thing?
Yeah, I get caught up a lot.
So it's safe to say that most of your romantic exposure is basically in your mind.
But yeah, we can say that.
E?
Hmm?
Personal question for you.
All right.
Listeners may want to know, are you dating anyone?
Crickets.
Okay.
Pregnant pause.
Interesting, because you've always told me that you have kind of mixed feelings
okay,
about
dating. I know where you're going with this. So my philosophy has always been, I'm the one that fucked up, made a bad decision in my life to be, end up in prison. So why should I incarcerate some other soul, you know, and stop them from living their life because of me? Mm-hmm. That, to me, that would be selfish. So that's always been my philosophy. But they got family visiting now.
Yes, they do.
Like we said at the top of the episode, you know, it's kind of hard to maintain without sex.
Yeah, but to have a family visit, you have to be married. So interesting. I guess we'll see where this goes.
Yep.
Thanks to Charlie Schray, Sincere Carter, Kevin Turner, Mo, and Allison West for talking to us for this episode.
And don't forget about all the Yard Talk guys. Good looking out.
They were great.
Especially the 85-year-old Joe.
Go
Joe. Hey, he be jogging, doing push. I'll be like, decent. I want to be like that when I'm 85.
Me too. When we come back, we have a count time. That's when we play a little extra something, a song, a poem, just some interesting tape we want you to hear.
This time, we have a few jokes from our friend Jesse Ayers, who performs stand-up here at San Quentin. We invited a small audience down to the media lab to hear him tell a dating story.
We'll be back with that after a break.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey! Count time!
I know there ain't no cell phones here at San Quentin, but when I was at this other prison, I had this homie, right? He used to let me use his. So when he would, you know, I'd be up all night looking at Tinder, Moco Space, and Plenty of Fish. My POF profile said I was a student majoring in criminal justice and that I worked in a correctional facility.
That's right. Pushing a mop.
Hey, girls out there must like that, because I was getting hella hits off of that. I was going through hella profiles until I saw Jenny. And let me tell you, the first time I saw Jenny, my heart skipped a beat.
Yeah,
hey, in just a few days, we were texting all the time. Things were going hella good until she set up a dinner date for that Friday night. I texted back, "Sounds great. See you then." But I was thinking to myself, "Yeah, right. See you Friday night in 2023. Hey, I fucked up because I told the homie about Jenny and he was all, "Just don't fall in love." And I was like, "Shoot, you don't know I'm a player, fool. They must not have told you about me."
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I was already trying to picture what me and Jenny's kids were gonna look like.
Well, not like you.
I don't know, we ain't seen Jenny.
That's true. You never know.
Hey, but you know how it is in here. Every fucking day's the same. Count time, lockdown. But none of that shit mattered to me when I saw that little phone light up.
Already in love.
I was stuck.
Told you.
But, hey, when that Friday night rolled around, the homie fucked up. He took the phone back. Man, I was up all night, tossing and turning, wondering if Jenny would ever talk to me again.
No, she's talking to the homie now.
He's already been replaced.
Yeah.
Hey, the next day the homie yelled at me, "You fucked up, fool. How could you do that to Jenny? She was blowing up my phone all night." He handed me the phone, and the first thing I saw was a picture of Jenny in a red dress standing in front of the restaurant. After that, there was just a bunch of texts asking, "Where are you?"
H-Unit.
Hey, my heart sank in my chest, and I felt sick to my stomach. So I was like, "Fuck it, I'm calling her." You know what I'm saying? So this is what I did. I called her, confessing everything. That I was in prison, why I'm here, and that no one else has ever made me feel the way she does. And there was this real long silence on her end. And then she goes, "Why did you lie to me?" And I was like, "Look, I'm sorry, but I think we can make things work if you give me a chance." She thought about it, and she's like, "I need some time to think," and hung up on me. Man, I waited a whole week to call her back, and when I did, my number was blocked.
You went back to the first time, your number was blocked, too. Your number was blocked all the time. 2020.
Hey, my heart was broke, right? But in the end, I guess we both got hurt, you know? But I ain't gonna lie, it felt hella good to be in love, even if it was just for a few days on the phone.
Player, player.
Thanks, Jesse Ayers, for coming down to the Media Lab and performing for us.
And to the guys in Jesse's audience, his own entourage. It was a home crowd.
Ear Hustle is produced by myself, Nigel Poor.
And me, Erline Woods, with help from outside producer Pat Macedi Miller, who also comes in to work with our sound design team. This episode includes music from David Jossie, Antoine Williams, E. Phil Phillips, Eric Maserati E. Abercrombie, and Lee Jaspar.
Curtis Fox is our story editor, Aaron Wade's our digital producer, and Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia. We want to thank Warden Ron Davis, and as you know, every episode has to be approved by this guy here.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. You know, there are a number of people here at San Quentin State Prison, staff and inmate-wise, whose families and lives have been impacted by the disaster that's taken place with the fires here in Northern California. And I think there should be a place that we allow some space for some thoughts and prayers and whatever engagement that people have in their hearts to look out for other people during this season. So again, this is Lieutenant Robinson at San Quentin State Prison, and I approve this story.
Next time on Ear Hustle,
a very special friend comes to San Quentin.
Who happens to be flat.
Well, that's because he's made out of paper.
And he's kin to Stanley.
Kin.
He's a little homie right here. Yeah. I mean, before we first met, he was a little shy, but then we kicked it for like, what was it, like 2 weeks? Had burritos, worked out together, played soccer. We did all kinds of stuff together. He's my best friend now. He's my homie.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm.
This is Ali Tambora, who used to be a resident here at San Quentin State Prison. I now work for the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
And I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
Did I forget? I like to dance. Oh, yeah. I like to dance. I like to have a good time, man, you know. I don't do the two-step. I do a 6 or 7 step. And she gonna like the footwork. Woo! Hey! Look at that, look at it, look at that. See that there? You like that? Huh? Yeah, you see that? I do it. I see. Hey, that's
Radiotopia.